It's so good to be with you guys. Right? Is it good to be with family? Man, we're all from different places and different family backgrounds, but we, in this room, we're family. And this family is going to spend the next 40 days praying that the family grows. I just need you to pray for one. Just that person, maybe when you walk by that neighbor's house, you're praying for that one, or if you go up to work, you're praying for that one. You don't know. When people walk in those doors, I don't know if I've ever told you this, but there have been so many times, I manuscript all my messages. Like, they're all written. I don't read them, but I manuscript them. And so many times I've had people say to me, man, when you said this, I really felt like God was speaking. And I want to turn to them and go, I never said that. I manuscript. I can show you I never said that. But we have a God that is big enough that doesn't matter what I say, even if it doesn't apply, God can come in and people can hear. And in this place, they're going to feel that love, right? So, I want you to, we're going to start off like, who's got a Bible? Got a Bible? Open up to the passage in the Bible where the word Lent is used. Okay? Anybody, who's there? Who got it? Who got it? You get a prize. You get a prize. No? You couldn't find it? Okay, alright. Alright. Open to the passage where the apostles were gathered together and they were putting ashes on each other's forehead in the shape of the cross. Can you find that? Ready? Go. It's right next to God helps those who help themselves, and cleanliness is next to godliness. That's where you're going to find that passage. Neither Lent nor Ash Wednesday, not in the Bible. They're not there. So where does this come from, and why do we gather on this Wednesday? Well, the word Lent is an Anglo-Saxon word that means spring. It's a newness. And we know that, right? We can see it. When spring comes, everything gets green. Hibernating animals come out. Around my house, there are ducks with little ducklings following them, or geese. In spring, what happens around here? The almond trees bloom, or the almond trees bloom. I don't know. What is it? What is it? Let's vote. Is it almonds or is it almonds? Okay. Usually you guys get along so well, but it's a newness. Now, traditionally, Ash Wednesday is 40 days until Easter. 40 days to renew. 40 days to get ready. Now, that story of Easter is all about what? It's about Jesus' resurrection. What if we took 40 days to resurrect part of our life? What if that was possible? Okay, so why 40? Well, if you look in your Bible, there's all kinds of 40s. The people of Israel wandered in the desert 40 years, right? It rained on Noah in the boat for how long? 40 days. Elijah prayed for 40 days. The first three kings of Israel, which was Saul, David, and Trump. Wait, Solomon. It's just too easy. Every one of them, 40 years. When Jesus was preparing for his ministry, he was in the wilderness, 40 years. After Jesus died, he was on earth. He made appearances for 40 days. There's something about 40 days. And those two are associated with this time of newness, a time of spring. In each time that there was a 40, it led to something new. 40 days of rain led to just a whole new life. 40 days of traveling in the wilderness led to a whole new promised land. 40 days of Jesus in the wilderness led to a ministry and to a personality that you can't deny his impact. You may have wandered in here today. You're not really a church person. You can't, because more hospitals were built in his name, and more people have been fed, and more alcoholics have been made clean, and more marriages have been put together. You cannot deny the one person. If you had to vote a person of the year, it would be hard. But if you had to vote a person who has made the biggest impact on the world, it's not hard. Each of those times meant a newness. Something new was happening. For many years, researchers found that it took 21 days to develop a habit. And if you Google it, don't right now. I'm speaking. Don't. You'll see all these 21 days to a habit, 21 days to a habit. And other researchers have found it's really twice that, which puts you right around 40 days. But then I did some more research and I found that some other people say it's 66 days. Sometimes it depends on what you're trying to develop a habit in. Sometimes it's easier, sometimes it's harder. I read one article that said that it took 21 days in a hospital for people to get in the habit of washing their hands, which didn't encourage me that people in hospitals needed 21 days to learn that they need to wash their hands. What we are attempting to do is to bring something new, to bring a newness of life into your life and my life. And what we practice at Lent is, oftentimes, it's a new habit for 40 days. Sometimes it's a giving up. It could be 40 days without eating carbs. That would be sad. That would just be a very sad 40 days without carbs. 40 days off of social media. 40 days without online games. 40 days without alcohol. 40 days without listening to Taylor Swift. Heck, man, I could do 40 years. I'm committing to 40 years right now. No Taylor Swift. When there have been times in my life when I have fasted different things, what I find is when I fast those things, whenever I desire that thing, it reminds me of what I'm praying for. It reminds me to go to my Savior. It reminds me, your hunger drives you, your desire drives you to get closer. But it doesn't have to be a giving up. It can be an adding on. It can be a new habit in that way. 40 days of exercise. 40 days of reading. 40 days of prayer. 40 days of trusting God financially. That's like, we don't want to talk about that. Last part of a person to be saved is their wallet. What if at the end of 40 days you no longer feared whether or not you would be secure enough in your money? What if after 40 days you don't worry about that? Can I give you something I've been trying to practice? We're just getting to know each other, right? You're probably similar to me in this way, at least from what I know of you so far. If there's somebody that's struggling, you're there with a kind word. If somebody is in need, you want to be there. If somebody does something good, you want to applaud them. You want to tell them that they're doing something good. But you know the person that we do not do that with? Ourselves. We don't speak kindness to ourselves. How many years of criticism do we have still echoing? And we're rehashing that conversation and rehearsing what we would say. Listen to this. Philippians 4, 8 and 9. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent, worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. You know, I used to think that those verses were just about, you know, make sure you don't watch anything bad on Netflix. You know, make sure you don't listen to heavy metal music. Where's Steve? And I guess it can be, like, if those are bad influences in your life. And I do recommend that. You know, when I go to a movie, I'm looking at the parent's guide to make sure that it's okay for me. Those are okay. But I think these verses are also talking about the way we speak of ourselves. We've been talking for a month that you are God's delight. Speak those words. What if you took 40 days and you either took something away that is wrapped around your ankles, a habit that is hurting you, something that damages your relationship? What if you took that out? Or what if you added something positive? What if as you're looking at your life, you go, you know what? I just don't ever get out. I've been so stuck in front of this TV, I'm not working out. What if you did that? What if you decided that you're going to eat a different way? What if you decided, and all of the purpose of this is a newness. And adding into that, and the whole purpose of this, is that we become new creatures. That's what God wants for us. He wants us to live into the fullness of who we are. Isaiah 43 says this, forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Do you need God to make a way in the wilderness for you? You have been in the wilderness of a bad habit. You have been in the wilderness of a difficult relationship. You have been in a wilderness because you hear the voice of your critics more than you hear the voice of your Christ. So I want you to spend some time thinking. We want to carve out some time right now for you to just think and pray. What is it? What is that thing? What is the thing I want to give up? What is the thing I want to add? So that newness springs up in the next 40 days. And we, at the end of, what if at the end of 40 days, we were more the people of who God wanted us to be? What'd you just say? Come on, man, let's hear it. What would happen? Trust me, God can do it. You on your own, you cannot. You can't pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. Prayer is what you can do with God's power. Do I hear an amen? Love it. Let's just take a moment and sit in silence. But Jesus, that you are here, that you have our best interests at heart. And God, I pray that we would hear from your voice. What is it? What do we need to add? What do we need to subtract? Not so that we can prove that we're in better shape or we held ourselves off from donuts, but so that we can draw closer to you. in these 40 days leading up to Easter. And live into our fullest selves. In your name we pray. Amen.
Well, I'm wondering how many of you have already filled out your cards, your Lent cards. Did everyone get one? Can you raise your hand if you didn't get one? And we have somebody over here, some people on the front row, because that is a very important part of this evening. Yes. So, as Pastor Jack talked about, giving up something in this next 40 days. Now, hey, if you don't like cheeseburgers, I don't want to see cheeseburgers on the list, right? It's got to be something you value, something that you enjoy. And why would we even think about doing that? Well, it's an offering that we can bring to our Lord. Maybe like if you ever received flowers on Valentine's Day, did you enjoy that? Were they beautiful? Yeah. Somebody's shaking their head. No. We need to send him flowers. Okay, so the taking away, making our life simple. I think of Lent as something as a mentor. It's thinning the distractions in my life, that abundance that gets in the way. I've got so many choices. I spend so much time thinking about what I want. I could be communing with God and let him tell me what I want. Because haven't you found sometimes we don't even know what we want? So many choices. So by making our life simpler, by removing those distractions, we can commune with him. So this is a divine reset. Divine because it's all about Jesus, right? It's all about Jesus. So what is Lent and what is the purpose of ashes? Well, ashes remind us of our mortality. From dust we came, to dust we will return. Our days are limited. They are numbered. We want to make the most of them, right? And that's why we want to spend time with our Lord. And maybe you put spending more time in the Word. Maybe you put going to life group more frequently. Maybe you put serving a neighbor. Maybe you put giving up sugar. How many people put give up sugar? Oh, wow, look at the front row. Hey, I'm joining you on that. Woo, we can help each other, hold each other accountable. That's right. So giving up something for our Lord. So the ashes, in a moment, you're going to receive some ashes on your forehead. What's that about? Well, ashes are actually in the Bible. They're in Scripture. And we see that in the Old Testament because in Job 42, repented in sackcloth and ashes. He humbled himself before God. We see that in Jonah, the king of Nineveh proclaimed a fast for the whole city. He exchanged his royal robes for burlap and ashes and ordered the city to do the same. Why? Because they were repenting. They were turning to God. We even see Jesus mentioning this act in Luke 10. He refers to the ancient cities of old, telling the disciples, if they would have seen my miracles, they would have repented. They would have turned to me if they would have been witnesses of my miracles. Have you seen a miracle? Have you seen hate turn to love? Have you been in an argument and then walked across the room to give that person a hug? Yeah. That's the love of Jesus. The love of Jesus. So I want to challenge you to get creative in that. Maybe the something that you're adding in could even be welcoming the Lord in the morning. First thing in the morning, you're turning to the Word. You're singing a praise song instead of complaining. Maybe first thing in the morning, you're flat on your face because you want to live into the fact that you're the kid and God's the king. We're the kids and God's the king. I lose that awe of how big my God is. He is all-knowing. He is ever-present. He is all-powerful. Maybe you're losing, giving up, apathy, and indifference. Flat on our face is a place to be. I know I've been there, and that's helped me. That's helped me. Praise God for who He is. I want you, have you already filled out that card? Awesome. All right. I want to ask our pastoral team to come forward. And I'm going to say another prayer right now. And then they are going to be ready to apply the ashes on your head. I just want to give you one more thought. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, God gave His Son, Jesus, to become sin, a man who never sinned. The Son of God, who never sinned, became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. When we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised Him from the dead, we are a child of God. When we repent and turn back to the cross, we receive the righteousness of God. That is a gift. Hallelujah. That was a beautiful sound. That in itself is a sacrifice, a fragrant offering. The sacrifice is you're here. You gave up Wednesday night to be here with the brothers and sisters and to honor your God. I'm so proud. I'm so proud. We are a faith family. We walk together. No one walks alone. Amen. Amen. Now remember, Sunday, we're having church. We're having church on Sunday, so we get to look forward to that. So I want to encourage you, as whatever that thing is that you gave up, Lent is not about guilt. It's not about shame. It's about being with Jesus Christ and letting Him love you because, oh, how He loves you. So don't put yourself on a guilt trip if you have a cookie. No, don't do that. It's about being with Jesus. So I want to give you this blessing, and my phone just shut off. Okay, here we go. It is from Jude. Some of my sisters are studying the rich book of Jude. Jude 1:24. To Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and dominion through Jesus Christ our Lord forever and evermore. Be blessed in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.